Thank you. To start to get some clarification first.
Councilman Ricks, if I may, I just want to reiterate my earlier comments to restrict this to questions. We'll have time after when this gets to the full floor for comments, opinions, positions, et cetera. I'm sure we'll all have something to say in that time. Okay, thank you.
Certainly, thank you. So earlier there was a statement that I believe that the $1.3 million would be added as to the OPEB liabilities, rather contribution towards those OPEB liabilities. So to clarify on that, that would be $1.3 million when the 2% is fully phased in for all city employees across all of the collective bargaining units, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Excuse me, correct.
And let's see, what's the number that the OPEB unfunded liabilities increase by more or less each year?
As we all know, I think as we come to know, actuarial science is very complex. It takes into account mortality rates, takes into account inflation, healthcare inflation, et cetera, et cetera. The age demographic of the overall population. The prior year actuarial report had pegged the liability at $295 million. It's now at $289 million. So it's not necessarily on an upward trajectory based on complex of factors.
And I know that a few years ago, before any OPEB trust was opened, it was north of $400 million, but that had more to do with, correct me if I'm wrong, did that have more to do with just the way that the standards change once an OPEB account is actually opened, or was that an actual change in the circumstances of what the liability actually is?
Actually, I don't recall that it was $400 million. I'd have to go back and look at the record. I don't know whether Lynn has an answer to that.
My mic is going, pardon that. Actually, thinking back on it, I believe that back in 2019, it was something like $352 million, and it would be over. City side, back in 2019, I believe it was $352 million, only would have been over $400 million with the school side factored in, which obviously isn't relevant here. So I guess what I'm getting at in terms of just trying to get a picture of how much this is increasing more or less on an annual basis is a few years ago, I want to say 2-3 years ago, we were told when reviewing the local 2748 contract, the firefighters contract, that in order for the future liability for OPEB to basically be covered on a year-to-year basis, not chipping into the liability that already exists, but just covering that future liability that continues to increase, we'd be looking at more or less about 8% employee contributions. And
how much was that?
More or less 8%.
8%.
I believe that that's what that report said a couple of years ago. And so, yeah, that's part of why I would view 2% as a significant, because it's more or less a quarter of that increasing contribution. So I suppose that my question is that, in generally speaking, and I know that the numbers shift, the accounting standards shift, all of that, but that's in the generally speaking right ballpark?
I'd have to go back and look at the records. It'd be conjecture on my part. I would mention that I did take a look at several other contracts. Chief Connor had mentioned, various contracts around the state at public safety or non-public safety given the different provisions for leave, for longevity, et cetera, et cetera, it's hard, it's an apples and an oranges comparison. Can't look at it just on salary alone or on even healthcare contributions alone. It's part of a larger package that negotiated over time. But I did look at the four major cities other than Warwick, Providence, Cranston, East Providence, and Pawtucket. And Pawtucket, by the way, is in arbitration, interest arbitration for their contract. So we don't know where they're standing as far as their salaries are concerned. But by way of example, Cranston has an OPEB for their police union of $600 per year towards a future retiree trust. At the end of this period, at the end of this contract period, when we're at the 2%, assuming an $80,000 salary, we're talking about approximately a $1,600 employee contribution. So substantially higher than a neighboring city. They have a retired employee contribution towards their health care. We do not. That may be part of a future negotiation. $300 per year. Family plan costs $25,000 per year, approximately, and an individual plan about $10,000 or so. So it's a step in the right direction. It eases some burden for the city, but obviously the taxpayers are picking up the burden, largely picking up the burden. East Providence did negotiate a retiree healthcare copay in 2014 of 20%. Somewhat of an outlier among the group. Pawtucket, they don't, as I mentioned, they're in interest arbitration with police, but their fire department has an OPEB of 0.5% towards an OPEB. We're shooting for 2%. So it varies. So we're taking the step that we're taking. We've been working with the actuary on pension and future health care, future retiree health care costs. He's endorsed this plan. And it's our first step towards getting employee buy-in to addressing what is a significant liability now and in the future.
So, if I may, my next question having to do with the bond rating agencies. I take it that the fact that this contract sets in this these various contribution rates as they do on this particular schedule, that's something that would be tended to be viewed favorably by the bond rating agencies?
Yes, absolutely.
Would it be viewed, in theory, more favorably by the bond rating agencies if we were at 2% effective January 1, 2025, as opposed to the phase-in that's currently before us?
I'm not personally qualified to say yes or no on that. I think that they see just having this collective bargaining agreement with an employee contribution, which previously did not exist, with that the phase-in would not necessarily materially affect what they just see it as a positive step. We're eventually getting to a certain threshold, that 2%, and the intervening 2 years, probably not material. But take that with a grain of salt, because I'm not a finance person.
I can appreciate that, and thank you for trying to answer as to that. Let's see. On the negotiation of the OPEB term, the phase-in versus immediately at 2%, if I may ask, what measures did the city take to attempt to negotiate the 2% immediately in effect as opposed to, well, immediately in effect as in taking effect January 1, 2025, as opposed to the 3-year phase-in?
Well, as you know, the firefighters contract had called for a 2% OPEB contribution effective January 1st, 25, and that was in anticipation that there would be other contracts for the contracts for the other two unions negotiated up to that point in time. Actually, these two prior these two contracts we're talking about tonight expired June 30th of 24. The January 1, 25 period that was set in the fire contract was in anticipation that if we got an agreement with fire and police and the municipal union that we'd have a 6-month lag period before that would go into effect, that all unions would be affected simultaneously. With respect to the question concerning what was the city's position to, at the outset of negotiations, yeah, we put on the table the 2% to match what was approved and ratified previously in the fire contract. There was a lot of back and forth over a number of months, as the chief of staff had mentioned, and the unions were, we couldn't get to that 2% as of January 1. Their view, and Jeb can respond to this, was that 2% all at once was too big of a hill to climb. It was too much of a chunk out of employees' take-home wages. And so we went back and forth, and we came up with a phase-in, which was acceptable to everybody.
Could that concern about that big chunk coming out of the paycheck have been avoided by simply front-loading some of the raises so that that 2% wouldn't be felt in the same way in the paychecks?
We had talked about front-loading, and we kicked that back and forth as a provision that might allow us to reach an agreement, but we didn't get there.
So given that when the former city council, I understand that five of us who voted on that particular contract are here, four of us are new. When the former city council voted to approve the fire contract a couple of years ago, there was that concession that was built in, that there was a certain assumption in there. Effectively, approximately how much money is being left on the table as a result of this phase-in, as opposed to activating that contingency in the local 2748 contract, which, if the contracts before us tonight were to have gone to the 2% effective January 1st this year, basically, what's the difference in money being left on the table as to that contingency in the other contract?
I believe the, if I recall, that IAFF contract or the fiscal note for the IAFF contract had an expectation of given salary levels at the time to which that 200% would have applied for the this period would be about $182,000. So we're, in terms of the OPEB contribution, probably $120,000 or so.
So if I could just go over some numbers to verify, I think that we had talked about this some earlier today. I just have some very rough math here, but the $182,000 from the fiscal note, I believe that it was dated November of 2022. The $182,000 and change only related to 6 months of fiscal year 25. Fiscal year 25, including, of course, the last half of calendar year 2024. So it would effectively be double that for an entire fiscal year. And then doing a little bit of subtraction, let's see, what I was coming up with, without even factoring in raises or differences in staffing or anything like that. So I want to emphasize that this is very intended to be just ballpark. Would be, pardon me one moment as I just pull this up. Yeah, so looking at just each 6-month period, $182,000, but one-third of that, 60.66%, difference being $121,000. And then the same thing for that second six-month period, last half of 2025. Then it goes up to 1.33%. So basically, both halves of the year of 2026 calendar year would each be kind of the reverse of that, where it's basically 61 grand left on the table for each of those 6 months. Add that all up and you get a bit over $360,000. Very much ballpark. I don't want to pretend that this is precise, but it seems like a pretty substantial amount of money being left on the table that was already there as a concession. So I guess that my confusion here is, if that much money was being left on the table, why wasn't there a way to make this work to get that 2% and collect that money that had already been conceded by one bargaining group, and then otherwise just have that overall benefit of instantly getting to that $1.3 million a year being set aside in OPEB instead of effectively first year, one-third of that, second year, two-thirds of that. Adds up to be literally millions of dollars that would otherwise be going into OPEB if those terms had been negotiated.
Well, as you know, we entered into good faith negotiations with, you know, it's not unilateral. The unions, as I mentioned before, felt the phase-in was more acceptable to their employee group. And you worked the salary against that. If we had established 2%, or if we were pushing for 2% as a drop-dead requirement in the negotiations, first of all, the police union has the ability to go to interest arbitration, which may have been the step that they had taken. We don't know. And then the end result of that is, first of all, only a one-year contract, probably wouldn't include any retiree healthcare contribution, whether it's, I mean, and I don't mean existing retirees, but a contribution towards future retiree health benefits. So it was not negotiable under good faith terms, and we achieved the agreement that we have before you. And as you mentioned before, and it's true, yeah, that you know, if we had that $400,000 or $360,000 from the fire union going into effect now, as well as with the other unions, you know, that would have expanded significantly what was initially, or what was going into OPEB through employee contributions at the present. But with respect to the credit rating agencies, I said, I don't think, yeah, it really would affect, you know, what our bond rating is going to be, and what cost our bonds will be. It's going to take many years before this OPEB trust to start to bear fruit. So I don't think that loss of time from January 1st, 2025, and not having 2% is going to significantly affect what the taxpayer burdens in the city.
Councilman Ricks, do you have any additional questions?
Let's see.
If you do, I'm going to need to move for a couple minutes for you.
I understand. I'll let other members of the council speak first. But if not, I do have a couple of quick follow-ups. Thank you.
Make a motion to extend Councilman Ricks for another 2 minutes, please. Second. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Go ahead, Councilman.
Thank you. So when it comes to OPEB, pensions, those types of long-term liabilities, would it be fair to say that at the end of the day, if the city were to have trouble paying for, meeting its obligations under a specific budget, whether it's because of increases in one line item or another, end of the day, it's all in the same boat, right?
I'm not sure I understand.
Yeah, so what I'm getting at is that whether basically a dollar is a dollar, and if the city is obligated to pay a dollar, then whatever category that dollar is characterized as, if it's something we have to pay, it's something that we have to pay.
If referring to pension and health care, we have our annually required contributions as determined by the actuary, and that's what we include in the budget for council consideration each year.
Oh, certainly. I suppose what I'm getting at here is that it's important to, from a financial perspective, take a look at the city's total financial unfunded liabilities, not just necessarily silo them independently, because ultimately, if the city has trouble paying for unfunded liabilities in any given category, then it doesn't necessarily keep us out of bankruptcy that we're doing just fine on, say, the pensions and healthcare. If, let's say, we're not able to cover the bills on the retiree health insurance, often referred to as OPEB, right?
Well, obviously, you look at the entire city budget as consists of many different facets, departmental operations, et cetera, employee benefits. And we've been successful, you know, working in cooperation with the council and getting approved budgets that we've seen surpluses in each of the last number of years. So it's not the balance, the undesignated fund balance has improved significantly over the last several years. So we have been able to meet those all-encompassing obligations.
Yeah, and obviously looking at the fund balance over the last several years is beyond the scope of this. That's a much longer conversation that I won't quite get into this evening. But turning gears a little bit, going back to the fiscal note, a different topic that we talked about earlier this morning over the phone. Is there any fiscal impact to the addition of one personal day under the FOP contract?
I'll let the chief address that.
Councilman, that's slightly a moving target because the personal day really doesn't impact cost, because if a detective takes it off or a commanding officer takes it off, then it won't create overtime. In a worst case scenario, every single patrol officer that takes it off takes it at a time when they couldn't ordinarily, and it would create overtime. But being at full staffing within the next 6 to 8 months, I don't foresee that being an issue. I can't give you a dollar amount.
Thank you. That's very good to hear. That's obviously a very separate topic from OPEB, but it was something that stood out to me that the personal day was not noted in the fiscal note. So I just appreciate having that that overview as part of the presentation to explain exactly why it wasn't specifically discussed there. Make sure that it wasn't a matter of an oversight. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the council have any questions? Any members of the council have any questions? I'm going to ask one more time for members of the public who may have come in late. Does anyone else have any questions, any comments from members of the public? Hearing none, I do have one follow-up for Mr. Kaiser. You stated that bond council would be looking favorably on our rating if this 2%, 0.66 to 2%, whatever that number is, were to be approved. Is that because there is such a drastic reduction in that $400 million outstanding liability that Councilman Ricks mentioned. As a result of the city putting in $500,000.
It's because
of,
what
is the reduction that took place from the $400 million?
As I said, I don't recall the $400 million figure.
Okay.
I'd have to go back and look at prior reports. I'm not familiar with that.
But there was a drastic reduction, far greater than $500,000 that was put in, right? I believe the reduction.
Well, I said it went from 295 to 289. That was based on the various elements that and calculations that go into actuarial determinations. They said demographics, healthcare cost increase expectations, mortality rates, et cetera. Those will all come into play.
But the reality is the formula that's used presents a very different balance for a for a $500,000 investment. The reduction is dramatic, right?
Well, again, I can't speak to the issue of how dramatic a change from some prior report was or projection. I can't address that.
All right, thank you. I'm going to ask for a motion to move this to the floor with unfavorable action. And before I do, I just want to let everyone know that once it does go to the floor, the members of the public, you will have another opportunity to ask any follow-up questions. So I'm looking for a motion to move this item, PCR 17-25. I'll make a motion to move PCR 17-25 to the floor without a recommendation.
Without? Second. So
moved. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay, moving on. Item number four, PCR 18-25, a resolution ratifying the collective bargaining agreement between the City of Warwick and Council 94, Local 1651, for the period of July 1, 2024 through June 30th, 2027.
Good evening. Bill Facente again, Chief
Good evening,
Staff.
Director. Chief.
Like the Fraternal Order of Police contract, tonight you have the contract with Council 94, Ask Me, AFL-CIO Local 1651. Similar to the FOP contract, substantial negotiations went on for months regarding increases, OPEB contributions, things like that. Similar to the FOP, the union and the city came to an agreement, a memorandum of understanding, a tentative TA, and to provide modest increases in both the salary of the hardworking members of Council 94, as well as a 2% over the 3-year OPEB. I'll go through the proposed raises for Council 94, July 1, 2025, 2.75%, January 1, 2025, 0.90%, July 1, 2026, 3%, January 1, 2026, 0.9%, July 1, 2027, 3%, January 1, 2027, 0.9%, total increase of 11.45% over the term of the contract. Similar to the FOP, we were able to negotiate the first step in funding an OPEB trust. OPEB deductions for Council 94 are as follows: January 1st, 2025, 0.66%. January 1st, 2026, 0.67%. January 1st, 2027, 0.67%. For cumulative over the 3 years, 2%. With the OPEB deductions factored in, the net raises averages 3.15% per year, which is slightly higher than the Social Security raises, and inflation at approximately 2.5%. Similarly to the police department, the city, Council 94, the administration struggles with recruiting for many of the skilled positions within our city, including operators, CDL drivers, and other skilled employees. We're here to answer any questions. I ask for favorable action.
Thank you, Chief. If you'd say that, actually, my first question is to you. I was waiting till we had both of these proposed contracts in front of us. Why wasn't these contracts forwarded to us prior to less than 3 weeks ago?
So the ordinance requires 14 days. The new council was sworn in on January 6th. These were sent on January 10th. We had them earlier, but we understood the new council and the current members that are holdovers wanted the new council members to vote on these contracts. So that's why.
Yeah, I anticipated that answer. I was the one that made a point of that on the council floor to wait to vote until we knew who was going to be sitting here and who wasn't, who was going to be newly elected. And we knew that very early in November. We knew who was elected to the council. So why wasn't the sitting members and the newly elected given these contracts sooner? Because they were signed on the 9th and the 10th of October.
So we're also waiting for the MOA for the fire department. Just so you know, all of these contracts are contingent on all three of the unions agreeing to OPEB contributions and deductions.
The demand by the fire department, that 2% you're talking about?
So the 2% that was in their contract, right? 2 years ago.
Sure, I'm familiar with it. Right.
So we waited for after the election, that was November 8th, and we provided them in accordance with the ordinance.
Okay. Mr. Kaiser. Mr. Kaiser, just hold off for 1 minute. Councilman Foley just brought up a good point. I would like to have the representative from the municipal workers come to the mic and do your presentation as well.
All right, there we go. Everybody hear me all right? Okay. All right. Jason Wendelowski, President, Local 1651. Just going to go with a broad statement here. Good evening, members of the City Council. Thank you for the opportunity to address you this evening regarding the proposed contract between the City and Local 1651. I stand here on behalf of the hardworking union members who have devoted their time, energy, and talents to serving the city of Warwick and its citizens with dedication and pride. The contract before you tonight represents months of negotiation conducted in good faith with the shared goal of balancing city needs and the well-being of its employees. What we have achieved in this agreement is a fair and equitable compromise that not only helps address the city's concerns, but also ensures that the employees of Local 1651 can earn a livable wage, one that reflects the value of their hard work and the rising cost of living. This contract acknowledges the importance of maintaining a workforce that is motivated, supported, and able to continue delivering the high standard of service that our residents deserve. By approving this contract, you will take a critical step towards strengthening the partnership between the city and its employees. This agreement represents more than just numbers on a page. It's an investment in the people who maintain Warwick's infrastructure, provide essential services, and ensure the safety and well-being of our community. We hope for a favorable outcome tonight that will allow us to build a stronger, more sustainable future for Warwick on a united front that is focused on serving the city and its citizens to the best of our abilities. Thank you for your time and consideration. We look forward to your support. Thank you.
Are there any members of the public who would like to speak? Any members of the public would like to speak? Hearing none. Mr. Kaiser. Thank you, sir. So I'm not going to be repeating all of the questions that I asked earlier, but many of them also pertain to this agreement. But I would like to start off by asking you to run through the fiscal note for this contract. If you could just go through the steps on this fiscal note and how these numbers arrived. I get the same question on the OPEB contribution showing it as a savings, but I disagree with that.
So the for the municipal contract, the fiscal elements consist of the salary increases of, as mentioned by the chief, 2.75 as of July 1 of 24, 0.9% that would be effective of January 1st of the current fiscal year, 3% July 1, 25, 0.9% January 1, 26, and 3% July 1, 26, 0.9% January 1st, 27. The cost of that on salary basis is $559,000 in fiscal 25, $625,000 in 26, and $649,860 in fiscal 27. You know, other two items of fiscal nature were a boot allowance, expanding the number of, or the title classification of employees eligible for boot reimbursement. That will cost us an additional $11,500 each of the fiscal years. It's a fixed rate, so yeah, that's not increasing. The current expenditure is about $6,000. It'll go to $18,000, hence the difference. And then the OPEB contributions, as noted with the phase-in. $61,540 in the FY25 expectation, $191,007 in fiscal 26, and $331,478 in fiscal 27. So the total municipal contract cost of, again, deducting out the OPEB contribution as a cost avoidance on the part of the city. That's how that was conceived. $509,568 in the current fiscal year, $445,909 in fiscal 26, and $329,882 in fiscal 27. There are enterprise funded positions within the municipal bargaining unit, and that doesn't come out of the general fund budget, but the cost in each of those in each of those fiscal years is $82,539, $75,978 in fiscal 26, and $56,729 in fiscal 27. So the net general fund cost to the city is $427,029 in the current fiscal year, $369,931 in fiscal 26, and $273,153 in fiscal 27.
In the bottom of Mr. Schaefer's fiscal note, he says, if the city applies the same wage provisions to non-union personnel, there will be additional cost. What is that additional cost? Or what could that additional cost be?
It's indicated that the non-union salary budget is $7,772,406. Now, a number, so the salary increases are to be determined by the administration, assuming for parity purposes that the non-union employees receive the same salary increase as the municipal union contract. We'd have 3% as of, 2.75% as of July 1, retroactive July 1, 24, and 0.9% in January 1. I haven't done the math to do that, but this key distinction it modifies that somewhat in that I think it's post 2012 or 2014, non-union employees are not eligible for retiree health benefits. So
Say that again.
Non-union employees are not eligible for retiree health benefits post 2012 or 2014. The administration may make the determination that the January 1 increase is going to be lesser than the 0.9 because they're not having withholding taken from their paycheck. There are 33 out of the non-union workforce, there's only 33 employees that are currently on staff that are going to be eligible for future retiree health benefits. So there's been a significant turnover since that ordinance was enacted. So it'll be lesser than the 3% and the 9%. That's what I'm saying.
But we don't have a hard number what that cost could be, because that, in fact, would have to be added on to this increase as well, right?
Yes. Yes.
And that could be a fairly heavy number.
Well, it's the union payroll is...
How many non-union personnel do we have?
About 98 positions, Counselor.
98. All right, I'm going to ask you, and it can be directed to whomever. These are some questions that were sent to me earlier today. It was actually later this afternoon to be asked. How many municipal employees do we currently have?
Stephen Rotondo, Personnel Director. So,
could you hold the mic closer, please, and just identify yourself for the record?
Stephen Rotondo, Personnel Director, City of Warwick. The number, in response to your questions earlier, or the questions we received earlier today, we have 406 regular full-time and part-time non-sworn positions.
I'm sorry, how many was that?
406 regular full-time and part-time non-sworn positions are budgeted in fiscal 25. We run vacancy reports about every few months. The last one was completed 12/31/24. We had 46 vacancies, so there's approximately 360 non-sworn employees. We have among those, and I didn't parse that out in within the who's non-union and non-union. In general, right now we have, as I said before, let me check my notes. Right now, on staff, this is number is good till maybe a few weeks ago. There are 98 non-union municipal employees, full and part-time, and of those, about 33 are eligible for post-employee health insurance benefits. People hired, I believe, is after 2012, are not eligible. So about 65% of our current non-union employees are eligible, are not eligible for any post-employment health insurance.
And what is the average salary for
I don't have employees? I don't have the number for average salary for city employees.
That was one of the questions that I had submitted earlier. I don't
in the time we had an answer. I couldn't pull that.
Okay. And what's the amount of paid holidays they get? I believe it's 17.
That is that's in the contract. It's not 17. If you do the floating, it could be. It also depends on years. It's it's less. It's one less every other year because of the election day, and it's also it's also if Christmas falls on Sunday or Monday, they don't get the half day there. So it's about, it could be 15. If we count the two floating holidays, and if you add in the Juneteenth that was just added.
I'll move on to my next question. What percent does the taxpayers, the city, pay into the retirement account each year? What percent of the municipal salary does the city pay in retirement now?
The employees have a fixed percentage of, well, it depends on the employee group, but municipal employees, 9.5% on employees hired before a certain date, 10% for new employees. The city's contribution is the actuarially determined budgetary amount, not a specific percentage of employee salary.
If I remember correctly, I looked for it today. I couldn't find it, but I believe Joe Newton of Gabriel Roda last time in said it was somewhere in the vicinity of 40%.
This is the municipal. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the current fiscal year city's contribution is actuarially determined is for municipal employees, is $8,792,265. And again, that's based on a number of factors that the actuary determines based on our portfolio investments, return on investments, et cetera, expectations of mortality, retirement age, a host of things.
I'm sorry, Bruce, could you repeat that number, 8 million, what, please?
So the 20, this is for municipal employees. The 24-25 actuarially required contribution is, and this is what was budgeted, $8,792,265.
Okay. And is there one healthcare plan for all city employees, or is there a different plan for different bargaining groups?
Stephen, can I say, the police have a health savings account, Blue Solutions, municipal and fire have Blue Cross HealthMate.
HealthMate Coast to Coast and
and go to the mic, please.
Everyone else has HealthMate Coast to Coast. If you want to go to all the different contracts, some of the contracts have a different pharmacy cap, 400, 600 versus 400, 800. But that's all, with the exception of the Blue Solutions for the police, the police account. Everyone else is on HealthMate Coast to Coast.
Now, in addition to the HSA of, I believe it's $4,000 for the police department, they still get the health cares, right? They get the same coverage as the rest of the city.
Oh, you mean the coverage levels are about the same, yes?
Yeah. Okay. Would it be fair to say that the taxpayers will be contributing, this is over the next 3 years, into the OPEB trust fund, $14 million into the OPEB trust fund, in addition to approximately $42 million in retiree health care claims over the years, over 3 years, for a total of $36 million. Is that an accurate number?
Well, the OPEB trust, the city is not going to be contributing, any general fund revenues. It'll be in, going forward, it'll be entirely
employee. The taxpayers will.
What's that?
The taxpayers will.
Not to the OPEB.
Then the taxpayers are not putting in any money into OPEB.
Going forward, no.
I'm sorry?
Going forward, no. Not to OPEB. But we may be, it may be a semantic conversation. As far as the retiree healthcare premiums for current retirees and those that will retire in the next 3 years or so, the cost of that healthcare premium, current year, as I mentioned earlier, is $11.9 million. As healthcare inflation affects that number and the number of retirees in persons in retirement will affect that number.
The OPEB contribution I'm talking about by the taxpayers is for active employees.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I say. I'm talking about I was referring to the OPEB trust.
Yeah.
That was a misunderstanding. Yeah, so the retiree health benefit, other post-employment benefits, is currently $11.9 million mm-hmm. for current retirees. That number is going to grow with future retirees, but it also is affected by mortality and health insurance costs.
Okay, that's the questions I have right now. I'll reserve my time. Councilman Muto.
Thank you.
Sorry to interrupt, but because we're close to seven, if possible, if a member of the committee could discharge this to the full council with no recommendation and to allow for public comment at that point, and then all council people can put their questions then.
I make a motion to move this, and this
You can just say so moved.
PCR 1825.
PCR 18-25 to the full council without a recommendation.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. And that motion includes with public comment, correct?
It'll include public comment.
I make a motion to move PCR 19-25, a resolution ratifying the memorandum of agreement between the City of Warwick and Local 2748, International Association of Firefighters, AFL-CIO, relative to Employee Benefits Trust Fund, to the full council without recommendation.
And
we have a motion. We have a second.
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Ayes have it. Okay. The Finance Committee will continue at another time.
It's 6:53.
So committees have concluded. We'll be in recess until 7 o'clock, at which point we'll proceed with the normal agenda, which includes going over the two items that were just moved to the full floor with no recommendation, at which point we'll take public comment for those two items. Bear in mind that the other item, the police contract, has already had public comment, and there will be no further public comment on that item.